I'll echo what RB said last Sunday. I love Christmas music. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, what we call Christmas, is filled with mysteries, and mysteries evoke questions. And we have been asking some questions for the last few weeks, such as, why prophecy? Why Bethlehem? Why shepherds? And today, why angels? For centuries, God used the prophets to make proclamations and to bring a message to people. But when Jesus was born, God used heavenly messengers. He used angels to bring this cosmic birth announcement. Why angels? Well, before we attempt to talk about some of the reasons why God may have done that, I want to be sure that everyone is on the same page. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe in angels? Pollsters have asked that question of Americans for a long, long time, and the majority of the people in America say yes, absolutely. I believe in angels. The most recent poll that I could find said that approximately 80% of Americans said that they accept the doctrine of angels. And for Christians, here is one of the primary reasons: the Bible. The Bible does not declare the existence of angels. The Bible assumes the existence of angels. In fact, in the Old Testament, they are mentioned 108 times. In the New Testament, 165 times. That's almost 300 times in the Bible that God speaks of angels. Now, here are some bullet points about angels that we learn from God's word. God created them. And he created them before he created anything else. Before he created the heavens and the earth and us. Angels are immortal. They never die. Angels live in another dimension from you and I, beyond our comprehension. Angels are superior to us in many ways, but they are not equal to God. They're still under God. Their appearance in the Bible is strange. In our thinking, there are many different descriptions of appearances of angels. Some of them have wings. Some of them don't. Some of them are described with multiple eyes in strange places on their body. Some of them are described as flying, and some are not. They are able to change their appearance at any time to look like anything they wish, including you and me. I don't know why any of them would want to look like you, but I can understand why they would want to look like me. They have a job description, according to the Bible. The job description of the Bible is that they are to be ministering servants doing the will of God. He also sends the angels to assist us, to protect us, to guard us, and to inform us. And that last item, informing us, is one of their big job descriptions. In fact, the word angel literally means messenger. God used them to give messages to a number of people in the Bible. Here are just a few from the Old Testament. Eve, Jacob, Elijah, I hope stories are racing through your mind now from the Bible. In the New Testament, even more important people, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. Angels appear in the Christmas story more than any other story in the Bible. The message to Zechariah was that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a miracle baby. The message to Mary was that she was also going to have a miracle baby. The message to Joseph was, this is of God, Joseph, and you can trust Mary, and you can take her to be your wife. The message to the shepherd was, this baby has been born. He has now arrived in a cave in Bethlehem. Why angels? Here is one answer. The birth of Jesus Christ was so spectacular that it needed a supernatural birth announcement. Think about it. There was no mail service at that time, so humans sent messages in a variety of ways. For one thing, they used a herald. A herald was very common in the days of Jesus. The herald would run into the court and blow an instrument, a trumpet, and he would take the scroll and unroll it, and he would read the message aloud. They also used carrier pigeons. Yes, they did. Carrier pigeons were very popular at that time. They would put little messages on their feet, and they would fly away to make their announcement. They used young boys. They paid them to run from place to place with a letter. They were the first mail carriers. But on the night that Jesus Christ was born, no herald rode a horse into Jerusalem to unroll a scroll and tell King Herod that this baby had been born. No carrier pigeons flew into Caesar to tell him the baby had been born. No young boys ran into the temple and proclaimed to the priest that this Savior had been born. God used the most unique messengers in all of the universe, angels, supernatural beings, to proclaim his coming. Do you believe in the supernatural? When you ask many people that question today, some of them begin to equate the supernatural with paranormal, with magic, with the occult, and many people are skeptics, as they should be, of those things, and so they'll answer, well, no, I don't believe in the supernatural. I do not believe in something that I cannot measure and test and prove. Well, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, because the world of supernatural contains realities that are beyond our laws of nature, things that we cannot explain with our logical minds. Our faith is based on believing the supernatural things of God. No wonder he decided to send a supernatural birth announcement when Jesus was born. It was a supernatural birth, anyway, whether he used angels or not, but he did. And he used angels in lots of other stories in the Bible. Some of those angelic encounters in the Bible created paralyzing fear. Have you ever been so afraid that you were paralyzed? You couldn't move? You couldn't speak? You were frozen in time? One of my favorite examples is a story from Daniel. It's in the 10th chapter of Daniel. This is so vivid. I want you to just to let your mind go and see these images. It says, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was light, like chrysolite, and his face like lightning. His eyes were flaming torches, and his arms and his legs gleamed like burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, but my face was on the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Wow, you'd tremble too. And so would I. What an encounter, what a vision. Paralyzing fear. It's interesting that in all of the angelic encounters in the Christmas story, their message was, fear not, do not be afraid. And perhaps that is another reason why God used angels in the Christmas story. He wanted to take something that was beyond the natural, something that was beyond man's control, something that typically invoked fear, and frame it in comforting words. Don't be afraid. You know what? There are many people who are afraid to give their lives to Jesus Christ. It's not because of their skepticism, their unbelief, or their disbelief in the supernatural, or their lack of belief in God. They have a fear of losing control. They just cannot take the step to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you taken that step? I believe most of you have, maybe all of you have, but there are many people who push that decision down the road. They're afraid. They procrastinate making that decision. Folks, if that's you, anyone here, don't be afraid. Fear not. Jesus Christ is good news. Jesus Christ is very good news. There's a wonderful prophecy in Isaiah 9, verse 6, that says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Whenever I read that, I am reminded of that image of the shepherd carrying the wounded lamb on his shoulders. Jesus wants to lift you up, and he wants to carry you no matter what you're going through. Don't be afraid. Perhaps that's why God wanted to use supernatural beings who normally invoke fear in people to reverse that message. Fear not, I am sending you some strong shoulders to carry you. Hallelujah. Rejoice in that, brothers and sisters, because Jesus Christ carries you no matter what you're going through, no matter what you will go through. Jesus Christ's shoulders are there for you and me. And here's another reason that God used angels. The birth of Jesus Christ should evoke wonder and awe and praise and worship. And one of the things that angels do best is worship. We read a lot about that in the Bible. One of the most vivid descriptions of the worship of angels is found in that great passage in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah had a vision of God sitting on a throne. And Isaiah said, above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two wings they covered their feet. And with two wings they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can you see that? We could spend hours talking about that passage, that awe-inspiring passage of worship. I wonder how they would describe our worship today if they were here hovering and watching. And guess what? They are. In the book of Revelation, we learn something else about how the angels worship God. They never stop. You know this description very well. Around the throne were four living creatures. Day and night They never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And here's just one more. It's in Job chapter 38. In this passage, angels are synonymous with the term morning stars. God is speaking to us, and here's what he says. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation?" This is one of my favorite scriptures. Job chapter 38, verse 4. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? And who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." That gives us a glimpse into the worship style of the angels. It includes singing and shouting. Well, at least we sing, right? This passage in Job is just one of the reasons why there is a traditional interpretation that the angels' message in Bethlehem was sung. The Bible doesn't say that. You probably realize that. The Bible does not say that the angels sang. It says this in Luke chapter 23. "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men on whom his favor rests.'" We know that God's word describes abundant singing in heaven and on earth. And we know that angels sang when God created the heavens and earth. We just talked about that. Surely they also sang when they announced the most miraculous birth that's ever taken place on the planet earth. "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth." And what a wonderful sound that must have been. That's another great reason why God would have used angels that night. Praise and worship fill the skies over Bethlehem. They signaled a supernatural event. They revealed that fear was not part of the event at all. Do not be afraid. They made it clear that this event was to evoke praise and worship. And here is just one more reason that God used angels. They had been humbled. They had been embarrassed. Why? Because some of their own had rebelled against God and they fell from heaven. The angels know what heaven is like, and the angels know what hell is like. And they know that some of their own are going to spend eternity in hell. And they know that all of us will join them there were it not for the grace of Jesus Christ and this miraculous incarnation of God. Angels can see better than we can see why being saved from the fire of hell is so glorious. Hallelujah! It's so glorious. If we had been a part of the angel chorus that night, we might have been tempted to feel a little pride. A feeling that, wow, I have been chosen to make this incredible announcement of the incarnation. I have been selected to tell those shepherds all about it. Maybe those angels were also tempted that night to feel a little proud, but they did not succumb to that because it was pride that caused their fellow angels to fall from God's grace in heaven. They had witnessed that. They knew it. They also witnessed Adam and Eve It was pride that had them cast out of the garden. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. And they are still watching. As they watched Adam and Eve, they're watching you and me right now. And they knew then, and they know now, that pride separates us from God. As uniquely supernatural as they are, they still have to clothe themselves in some humility, just as we do. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, even angels long to look into the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not all-knowing creatures. They have also been humbled as we have. And God continues to teach angels humility. Even though they had the unspeakable privilege of knowing about the advent of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem and being there when it actually took place, they still are not allowed to know the time of the second coming, the second advent of Jesus Christ. But make no mistake about it, when that time comes, the angel choirs are going to sing again, and the whole earth is going to hear the song. Hallelujah. Isn't it sad, however, that many people refuse to hear the angel's message today? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. They refuse to hear it. Isn't it wonderful that you have accepted that wonderful message, that you have embraced that wonderful message? Their message sounds a lot like this. Nothing is impossible with God. Woo! Nothing is impossible with my God. What? Amen. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Fly with us. They proclaimed the miracle of Christmas. They proclaimed the mystery of Christmas. They proclaimed the majesty of Christmas. If you have not embraced their message, then let today be your Christmas day. If you have embraced that message, then hold it up again, brothers and sisters. Celebrate it. And don't keep it to yourself. Let's pray. Almighty God, the wonder of Christmas has enveloped us once again, and we will never tire. We will never tire of this wonderful message of grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. I thank you for it. We lay our lives before you because of it. And I pray, Lord, that we will join the angel choir, that we will sing praises to you for all eternity. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for your incarnation. Thank you for now. And now may you hear us as we celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen.